with a subject. It just got me thinking about this. Seems like this time of year everybody's talking about, remember what happened in 2021. I mean, it's hard to believe that all of those riots and things that took place in Washington, D.C. At the beginning of the year, and of course, you know, the situation with President Biden and the Afghan fiasco and all of those things. And I pulled up an interesting thing, and it's called News About Things in 2021. How will the history books remember 2021? And then another article talks about, can you remember 2021's biggest celebrity scandals? Y'all know that, right? You know, who knows? Do you remember these good things that happened in 2021? Stories to remember from 2021. A year to remember, South Florida sports. A year to remember from the Turlock Journal. December to remember 2021, cyber year to remember, and highlights for 2021. You know, all of those remember things are out there. Of course, John Madden died, and so people are remembering these things, people who lived. So I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, what does the Bible say about remembering? And so I thought, well, I'll do this. I'll go to the New Testament. That's always safe. To look up all the verses in our King James Bible that use the word remember. And what is it that God would have us remember? And of course, some of those words are sometimes translated to be mindful of or to be in remembrance and those kind of things. And God is very, very clear in His Word the kind of things that ought to be going through our minds. And so I got to thinking, okay, what does the Bible say? So I looked up all these verses, and as I do, sometimes I'll categorize them and this is an exhaustive study, but I thought it was very interesting what God has told us in His Word to remember. The most predominant thing that I saw over and over again is that we are to remember the words of Christ, the words of Jesus Christ. Luke 22:61, and I'll just quote some of these verses. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Look over to Luke chapter 24, and I won't look at all these verses with you, but it's probably helpful if we do look at some of them. Luke chapter 24 and verse 6. It tells us here regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we're told that the angels tell those at the tomb, verse 6, He is not here. But is risen. And what's the next word? Remember. Remember how He spake unto you. Now, obviously, we have four gospel accounts, and we have all these things that Jesus said. And John tells us in his gospel that if everything that Christ said or did had been recorded, even the world itself could not contain all the books. And so it is interesting that we are to consider the words of Jesus. Now, I am not of the opinion that the red letters are more important than the black letters, because all of the Scripture is inspired. But nonetheless, we're told in John 14:26 that when the Comforter has come, you know what the Holy Spirit is doing? We preached on the Holy Spirit last Sunday evening. And, man, I bit off more than I could chew on that sermon. I felt bad after that sermon. I thought, man, this could have been broken down into a series of messages. And the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus said in John 14, verse 26, that when He comes, He will bring all things to your remembrance, what I said unto you. That's why you need to memorize the Scripture, to remember what the Lord tells us. John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you, Jesus said. John 16:4, but these things have I told you that you may remember. He didn't tell us these things so that we could just say, oh, that's a nice idea. He wants us to really meditate on these things and to think about them. Acts 20:35, the Apostle Paul says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we are thinking about what we are to remember, I would say in remembering for this coming year, always remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has said so many things to us. Secondly, another thing that we should remember is that we should remember the Bible. We should remember the Bible. And notice if you go over to the book of Jude. Now there's only one chapter, so you could theoretically just say Jude 17. But there's just this verse that says in verse 17, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the apostles were on this earth to lay the foundation. The Word of God is built upon the foundation of the apostles, on Christ and the apostles. And of course, we know that Peter tells us, I believe it's in 2 Peter, that Paul's writings were equal to the Old Testament scriptures. And so it is important that we remember the Word of God, that we do not just simply ignore the Word of God. So many times, you know, we can do that. And yet the Bible tells us that it ought to be on our minds all the time. Thirdly, we see in the Scripture that we should always remember the gospel of Christ. Always remember the gospel of Christ. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're told in verse 8, 2 Timothy 2 verse 8, which the first word is remember, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And of course, this is Paul's gospel because this is something that he preached all the time. You know, there's a lot of different ideas of the gospel out there. There's a lot of people saying, this is the gospel. I've often, in the past, when I've done the training for evangelism, I will say to those taking my class, write out what you think the gospel is. And so many of them get it wrong. The gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1, 2, and 3, and so forth, it talks about that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And this is the gospel that is preached unto us. And it's not just that it's some kind of theological discussion that we have about the gospel, but according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, 9 and 10, that for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And then verse 11, remember that you were outside of the family of God, and now you are inside the family of God. And it's important that we do not allow the media to constantly pull out of our minds the importance of the fact that I was lost, but now I'm found. And that's why John Newton wrote, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. And I think it's important that we do this. You'll see the Apostle Paul, he is constantly giving his testimony and witnessing to people. You know, you ought to just try that sometime. Just go out and say to somebody, hey, can I tell you a story? This is something that's important to me. I know of people who have written gospel tracts that are personal testimonies of their salvation. You did that. Yeah, so I think that's an important thing to do. And to use the gospel. We need to remember the gospel of our salvation. Number four. The scripture also in the New Testament tells us that we should remember God's promises. We should remember God's promises. Now, in the book of Luke, and let's go there because you need a little bit of context here. In Luke chapter 1. Now, we just came through the Christmas story and all of that. And of course, prior to the Christmas story was the story of the birth of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist's dad's name was who? Zechariah. And we're told in chapter 1 that Zechariah, after he was able to speak, because remember he lost his ability to speak when he saw the angel of the Lord, and we're told in verse 22, and it came out, he could not speak, in verse 23, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his administration were accomplished, he departed to his own house, and after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived. Now, if you'll notice in Luke chapter 1, verse 72, it tells us here that Zechariah, verse 67, his father Zechariah, it says in verse 72, he quoted, he says, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to do what? Remember his holy covenant. So, in other words, God made a covenant. What was that covenant? God says, I will never do away with Israel. You know, the interesting thing about covenant theology is that they tend to think it's a replacement theology, that Israel was no longer going to be able to inherit the promises. And yet, God had made a promise to Israel about his holy covenant. And this was made to Abraham in Genesis. So, in other words, we see in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that all the promises of God are in him, yea. And it's good for us to remember those promises. God gave us these promises that we might rely on them. You know, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. See, so we think of the gospel. What's so great about the gospel is that we have the promise that we have fellowship with God and that we're on our way to heaven. Number five, we should remember God's provisions. We should remember God's provisions. Look with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, again, one of the wonderful things about reading through our Bibles, which you have been doing, is that you get context when you look at these verses. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 9, the Lord Jesus said, do you not understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000? Now remember, Jesus had fed the 5,000. And they, verse 7, reasoned among themselves and said, okay, we're out of bread. How are we going to get bread? And Jesus said, don't you remember how I provided for you in the past? Now think about that. Did God provide for you last year? Did God keep your car running? You say, well, for the most part. Did he keep your roof from totally coming off? Yes, he did. So, you know, we have to understand that all the promises and the provisions of God, God will take care of us. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. You want to stop being pessimistic? Remember all the things that God has done and provided for. He gives us food to eat. And I always like that illustration with, what's his name? I forget his name now. The fellow that wrote a lot of commentaries. And he said, remember he was sitting down at the table to eat a meal, and some guy said, hey, can I join you? Ironside, John, H.A. Ironside. And Ironside, he said, this guy comes to the table, sits down, and then H.A. Ironside prayed for his food. And the guy looked at him and said, "Are you all right?" He said, "Oh yeah, I was just giving thanks for my food." He said, "Well, I never give thanks for my food because, I kind of take care of myself and I don't, expect God to take care of my food." And Ironside, you remember what he said? I've told this story many times. What did he say? "That's what my dog does." See, and there's a lot of people that are just like that. They never give thanks for God's provisions for them. And so we need to remember these things. We need to understand that having eyes, ye see not, and ears, hear ye not, do you not remember? Number six, we need to remember God's judgment. Now, we must not ever forget that God is a holy God. And we're told in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, and verse 6, it says that one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Now, this is in Psalm 8. Hebrews is quoting Psalm 8. And think about that. God remembers man. Now, in Jude, now if you go over to the book of Jude, it tells us this. In verse 5, it says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." Now, we have to understand that God is a God who is mindful of what people are doing. You know, we might think, oh, they're getting away with all kinds of stuff. Well, they may seemingly get away with things, but God is mindful of them, and that God will one day destroy those that believe not. And we need to be remembering, because if you notice there, "I put you," and Jude says, "I put you into remembrance of this, that judgment is coming on the unbelievers, and people are going to hell." And we would do well to always remember that. That, you know, this guy or this girl might be a good person in many ways, but if they do not know Christ, the Bible tells us that they will die and go to hell. And we may be the only one between them and hell. Now, we hope not. We hope that there's enough Christians out there that care enough for the souls of men that they talk to them. But God tells us, remember this. He says, and Jude says, "I want to put you in remembrance that unbelievers will be destroyed." Number seven. I got 15 of these, so I'm going quick. Number seven. Let's go over to the book of Acts. Let me not spoil this for you. The book of Acts, chapter 20, and verse 31. Now here is Paul preaching, and he says, "Therefore," verse 31, "watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears." Now how would you describe what we should remember there? What did Paul want them to remember? His warnings. And to let them know, hey, remember what I preached. Someone said, "Well, I don't like to take notes." Well, God says, remember this. You know, when the preacher gets up and preaches, it doesn't have to be me. It could be anybody. It could be an evangelist. Maybe you're listening on the radio or on the television. There are some very gifted expositors out there. And you can find out that they are preaching the Word of God. And God says, remember what they have told you. Don't forget what they have told you. Second Thessalonians 2, verses 4 and 5, talks about the Antichrist. And the Apostle Paul talks about that he will show himself that he is God. And then he says this, remember ye not when I was with you, I told you these things? So when the preacher gets up to preach, or the Sunday school teacher gets up to teach, remember that. Now, we can't remember everything, but you know, it really is a wrong attitude to totally ignore the preacher. You know, some people, they have come and, you know, and I really got into this habit a little bit. When I was at Bob Jones University, I would be up in the balcony. And when I was up in the balcony, I had worked all night long. So I had it figured out. You know, if you sit up there in the balcony at a certain level and I'm looking down at the person speaking, I could close my eyes and get a little nap. But you know, the fact was, you know, I got under conviction about that. You know, we ought to not allow ourselves to say, it's just the preacher. I have heard that before. You know, there's a reason why you've heard it before. You know why? Because repetition is the key to learning. And I mentioned last Sunday how I had such a hard time coming up with Sunday's messages. You know why? Because I knew that probably we wouldn't have any visitors. Now, we did have a couple of visitors. But I also knew that you probably have heard about everything I know. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, what could I say that could be a help to these folks? And, you know, it's a fascinating thing to recognize that God has used the foolishness of preaching to get a hold of people's hearts. Now, I don't know about you, but Sunday night I told you I kind of felt bad because I had so much material, but man, I got under conviction over that. And God spoke to my heart over that. And I thought, man, I need to walk in the Spirit if I'm going to live this next year the way God would have me to live. And I'm not just pressing on, I'm pressing on with the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. So I always figure, well, if no one got anything out of it, I got something out of it. But you know, it's important that we understand that God wants us to remember the preaching of the Word of God. Now, Jesus had already said, remember what I said. Well, we're to remember what Paul said, and we're to remember what Peter said, and James, and Jude, and John. We remember what they said. But you know, when the preacher gets up to preach, we need to remember that which is of God. Number eight. I'm halfway through. Number eight. We're to remember the works of ministers. Now, honestly, I went through this and I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to let the truth fall where it lies. And then I kind of felt bad because I'm thinking, you know, I'm a minister of the Word of God, but I want to apply this a little broader because all of us, hopefully, are ministering one to another. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 2 says, now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, Paul says. Or in 1 Thessalonians 2, 9, remember, Paul says, brethren, our labor and our travail. For we labored night and day because we would not be chargeable to any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. And he said, just kind of remember us, please. Hebrews 13, 7. Let's go to that one. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. The scripture tells us, remember, see that word? Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, and then, which we already talked about, remember what they preach, but notice whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we are to remember the works of ministers. And, you know, and I think it's a great thing for you to go into your past. I know I'm not your only minister. You've had people in your past that have ministered to you. And I would say, remember that. Don't show disgust or sarcasm to the minister of God. Number 9, something else we should remember. We are to remember other believers. To remember other believers. 1 Thessalonians, let's go there. 1 Thessalonians. I was just enamored by this whole study. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. And again, the first word is what? Remembering. So we're going to see that word over and over again in some form. Remembering without ceasing, Paul says, I remembered your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God. He said, not only do I want you to remember me, but I remember you. And it's a joy to be able to see Christians who are going forward and they're trusting the Lord. They love the Lord. They love others. They're expecting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we can get all bummed out if we sit and think about Biden all the time. Or if we sit and think about Kamala Harris all the time. Or if we keep sit and think about Congress. Or some of the decisions that the Supreme Court does. Hopefully they'll make some good decisions here. But, you know, the fact is, as I mentioned Sunday morning, that we ought to, we should follow people like Paul. We should remember people like this. And, you know, and I realize what it's like. It bums me out, too, when I think about Christians who get away from the Lord. You know, if I want to get discouraged, I just think about all the people in our ministry over the years that just kind of blew it. Well, if we're not careful, we could allow ourselves to really get our thinking wrong. Now, it's not that we can't learn from that. Because if you remember Sunday morning, I preach on Philippians 3 and not, it talks about forgetting those things which are behind. There are things we need to forget. But there are things that we need to remember. And there are people we need to remember. And if I want to be encouraged in my faith, I can just go through and name you people in my prayers. And that can be an incredible encouragement. And this is why the Bible tells us, and Paul tells us, that it's important that we remember people like that. Number 10. I told you I got 15 of these. I got 5 minutes. Number 10. We need to remember those who suffer. Now, the Scripture tells us this. Galatians 2, verse 10. It says that we are to remember the poor. And it's interesting because there are people who are in need. And my tendency is to think, well, if somebody's poor, they're just blowing their money and they have all kinds of opportunity. But some people can't help it. And we go to the Scripture and we find that God says, you know, there are people that are suffering. I mentioned last week that we had one of the ladies that's coming to our church. They had no Christmas presents for their children. And so I said to my wife, what are we going to do? And she said, well, we got to go give them something. So I called Brother Patrick and asked his opinion on that. Do you think we as a church could give them some money to help them? So we went over to Walmart, bought them a gift card. Now, sometimes we forget that this is real live Christianity. And there are people who are poor. Colossians chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says to the Colossian Christians, remember my bonds. What was he talking about? I'm in prison. Please remember me. Don't forget about me. Hebrews 13:3 talks about remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity. We are to remember people who are hurting. Number 11, we need to pray for those who have failed. Jesus said that. You know how? He said, remember who? Lot's wife. Three words. Boy, you know, Lot's wife blew it. She turned around, and not so much that she just turned around, but her heart was still in Sodom. And God caused her to turn to a pillar of salt. And Jesus said, now don't turn back. You know, he that puts his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Remember Lot's wife. Now, remember those in your life who have really blown it. And not so much that you look down on them, but you consider, man, saved by the grace of God, I could be in the same situation. We're to pray for those who are in authority. Number 12. Those who are in authority. Titus 3, verse 1. Let's go there. The book of Titus, chapter 3. Now, here we have a little bit different expression, but it's the idea of remembering. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. You know, sometimes we got to remember that while we're blasting Biden and we're criticizing Congress and we're putting out and we're passing along this criticism of our governmental leaders, the Bible does tell us that we are to put them in mind, and we need to remember. And of course, we're told in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, what should we do for them? What should we do? Pray for those who are in authority. Number 13, pray for your Christian growth. Remember your Christian growth. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, let's go there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Now, understanding the context, again, context is key in interpreting. And 2 Peter chapter 1 is talking about what? He's talking about adding to your faith. Remember that? And he says in verse 5, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now, if these things be in you and abound, you won't be unfruitful in your knowledge. But if you lack these things, it's going to cripple you spiritually. Now, verse 11 in 2 Peter, verse 11, an entrance shall be ministered. Verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent. This is verse 12. To put you always in remembrance of these things. Now, that's why we ought to be constantly looking at, we are to be pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if we are not doing that, we're going to become negligent and we're going to be hindered in our lives. So, he is telling us that Peter says, because of the importance of growth in your Christian life, remember that you ought to be going forward and not backward. You ought to be pressing toward the mark. Number 14. I didn't even know how to put this, but I just put it this way. You need to remember your need for balance. Your need for balance. Now you said, well, what do you mean? Well, if you go over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's look there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and you'll see this all the way through the pastoral epistles. And of course, he's specifically dealing with preachers who have a tendency to do this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, Paul tells Timothy, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of the hearers. Now, so in other words, he said, remember the importance of keeping a balance. See, it's easy to argue, and it's easy to say, well, I won the argument, or I'll argue the cause, and then ourselves become imbalanced. And it's important that we are not striving about with words to no profit. Our yea ought to be yea, and our nay ought to be nay. And, you know, we could maybe say, well, I have good Christian theology, but if it isn't causing me to live right, what good is it? That's an imbalance. And then one other thing, and I'm done because I have to quit. Number 15, we need to remember our need or your need for repentance. Your need for repentance. And I suppose we should look at this one. It's in the last book of your Bible. And it's in chapter 2, verse 5. And here's John writing under the inspiration of God regarding the church at Ephesus. Now, remember, the church at Ephesus had good standards, but they were losing their love for the Lord. And so, he tells us in chapter 2, verse 5, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. So, remember that. Keep in mind that none of us have attained. And that they were fallen, and he said, and do what? Repent. Or, look at chapter 3, and verse 3. Here's the church of Sardis. Here he says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. You know, sometimes we just forget we need to get right with the Lord. That's why we have preachers, right? The preacher's always saying, you need to get right if you're not right with God. Well, because we need to repent. We need to change our thoughts about these things. So I'm just saying to you, and I don't even have time to repeat all of those, but I am just saying to you that this is a great lesson for us to recognize. You know, when everybody's showing you all the things that happened in 2021, I think it'd be a better use of our time to ask ourselves, have I been remembering the things that the Lord told me to remember so that I can enter into this next year in a way that would bring glory to God. And all God's people said, amen, I like that sermon, preacher. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you do for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the prayer time that we've had. Father, I ask that you would guide and direct us. Help us, Lord, to truly and genuinely be mindful of those things that will help us to be better. Guide and direct us in all that we do. Bless us according to your will. And Lord, as we enter into this next year, Father, help us to make sure everything is right between our souls and the Savior so that we could remember those things that will help us to be better in the future. And we'll praise you for it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.